I've got a massive delay on my end. I'm pretty sure those intros worked fine because I could see Mario dancing in the background. My name is Anthony. We're here on Inter Worldwide. Those intros, I pressed play and then they just didn't play. Everything went well, boys?
Worked for me. There was like a slight in between.
Yeah,
half a second.
If it's good enough for me, it's good enough for you. Mario Galliano and Christian Rivas, the OGs, are joining me for those fantastic detailed casual chats. The chat is already doing well. We've got 20 people here already watching this video. I didn't expect that. It must be the convenient time. Yes, it's a Monday, and no, I am not at work. Mario, how you doing, man? Good to see you. Apparently, word on the street is that you've been a Madrid fan as long as you've been a Palermo fan.
I've been a Madrid fan my whole life. I'm so happy that Liverpool lost. I live for these kind of moments. I'm more happy to watch Liverpool lose in the Champions League 1-0 to Real Madrid than I am to, watch us finish second place.
Christian Rivas is joining me as well. It's really good to see you, man. Good to see you smiling. How you doing?
I'm great.
That is good. It's good to see you, man. We've got 20 people here. Let's go to a little bit of the chat first before we move on to a bit of an agenda. It's a podcast episode. That's why I've got a label of that for the boys. It's episode 96. Future Hendrix is here. We're going to make sure Dybala waits until we get an answer from Lukaku. I don't buy that at all. I reckon the Dybala one's been sowed for long time now, considering what's coming out in the news. Mighty Mouse says Lukaku changed his agent and is willing to reduce his salary. Not just yet. All I've heard is the latest is that he's going to talk to Pastorello. But, you know, this guy, he really does like to throw his toys out of the pram. And I'm just going to go straight to Rivas right here, right now. The Lukaku situation, he really looks hell-bent on coming back. You really want a player who's got something to prove like that. Like, he's willing to come back. He'll do well. I'm in the same boat as you. We've spoken about this before. I am not stressed over this dude. Lukaku does not need to come back. There is no way he'll be as good in this system under Inzaghi as he was in Conte. But we're looking at a loan for really like cheap wages here. Not cheap wages, but in context. $5.5 million would get him here for a season. You reckon it's just there to guarantee some goals?
Look, as long as we don't lose the baller, that's all I give a damn about. Gotta sign the baller. If we get Lukaku, cool. But if not, I am more than happy to see Lautaro and the baller leading our line.
Yeah. Mario, your thoughts on that comment?
The more I hear Lukaku coming back, I don't know why, but the more I like it. It's weird. I'd much prefer Dybala. Don't get me wrong, he's my number one. But Lukaku coming in, I mean, imagine us having those three, Lukaku, Lautaro, Dybala, is our, you know, rotation.
That's all I'm good for. If it's the three of them, yes, let's go.
And but we're going to have Deco also.
Deco could be benched. I don't care. He ain't sorry.
He's going to get benched, but he's going to be there. And with those four,
I'm okay with that.
I'm more than happy.
There was nothing really wrong with Jekyll's turnout this season, apart from the fact that you're really just demanding way too much from his skill set and physicality at his age. I'm sure he would have liked some more minutes on the bench as well.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the season, we said how much goals we want from Deco. We said 15. He scored like, what, 13, 14? What are you going to do?
Listen, I haven't had time to come and say this, but I told you how my boy was going to turn up this season. 21 goals in Serie A.
He did. He did turn up in the end. Like, he's very, very close to his best season here. It could be his best season here. Yeah. You reckon it was his best season?
Yes.
I too am very scared about Bastoni. We're going to talk about that in a second. Gerald is here. Good to see you. For me, this stream is starting on a Sunday and probably ending on a Monday. Yeah, we're going to stick around for a fair bit here. I'm good for a little while. Does Bremer? Gee, look, we'll see if Bremer comes. I'm really hoping that he is. Yeah. Anthony, I'm crazy. We need that tank back. Inzaghi will weaponize him. Seeing is believing, man. Like, Romelu Lukaku has bombed out so many times throughout his career. You got to remember, under Conte, it was the most polished version of him. Have you seen him play for Chelsea this season? The guy is playing so bad. There's so many compilations of him just breaking the most basic shit on a football pitch. I don't know if it's fair in context, but...
Wait a minute. Time out. All right, you remember when this deal happened? I said he was going to flop. And it wasn't because of the player himself. It's because the system. The system doesn't fit him. And I said this, yo, like, Lukaku is a system player. Mm-hmm. Right? He is not going to play at Chelsea in a team that's designed for a false nine. not a pure number nine. Mm-hmm. Look how many fucking Tino Warner went over there and he flopped. Tommy Abram went over there and flopped. Lukaku went over there and flopped. You can take Lewandowski and he'll go over there and flop because that team is not designed for a pure number nine. Doesn't matter who it is, they go over there, they flop. That team That's is not fine. Designed to work that way. Yeah. They don't play that style. Why would you?
I mean, I said it, I wanted him to fail at the beginning of the season because I think if you pay $150 million for a striker, you're a fucking asshole.
It's a lot of Straight money. Up.
That's a lot of money. You could build a whole team with that kind of money, and you want to play.
You could build two teams with that money and have some left over.
And you want to invest it in just Lukaku, and knowing well that he goes to the Premier League and he struggles for the most part, depending on where he goes. So, I mean, he has a lot to play for right now, and he's going to come and get it at Inter because we love him. He's going to have the backing of the coaches, most likely, because when you're Inter and you have a player like that, you're just going to be like, oh my God, this guy is like a godsend at this point because we've needed a player like you for so long. We had you. You brought us to glory. You know, come back, please, please, please. And they feed off of that shit. They want that. And then you go to Chelsea. Oh, yeah, you know, he was a flop the first time. We spent $100 million for him. He better be good. Completely different scenario on that end.
Yeah, but when you buy a player like that, you need to make it work. Mm-hmm. You need to tend to him because it's an investment. Thomas mm-hmm. Tuchel was completely god-awful in integrating yep. him into the team. I don't blame Lukaku. I blame Tuchel. You went out and you broke the bank for this guy. What, they paid like $130 million?
Was it actually his second request? If he didn't get Haaland, it was like, I want Lukaku. Or was it a club's decision, like an Abramovich flex? Like, I'll get you the next best goal scorer on the market.
I think it was more of an Abramovich flex. Or actually, Thomas Tuchel wanted him, though. It was reported that he wanted either Haaland or Lukaku. He said he needed a pure striker. You need a pure striker, but your system does not work with it. If you send Haaland over there, I think he flops too. It's just the system is not built for strikers. You got to completely revamp that whole team to make it work.
Yeah. Mike says, do we really think we have a fit Dybala? He would be great. Bro, I keep saying this, man. Like, this is, he's had an injured season. All right, cool. Let's say he's had an injured season. He's been unfit this season. Cool. Let's say he's been unfit this season. Well, to me, that's also a miracle. I've never seen an unfit injured person turn out 38 games and 20 GAs for their club. If this is his worst season, if this is his most injured season, I'll take him because that narrative cannot fit anymore. I'm not lying with my own eyes. I'm literally talking numbers here. The guy plays all the time. The guy contributes all the time. He's responsible for probably 70% of the D's turning into W's under Allegri. I don't know what more you want me to say about this, Christian.
Bro, like, first of all, he's free. You're not dropping $30 million. You're not dropping $50 million. You're not dropping $60 million. He's on a free. All right? That's zero. To me, that's the better deal opposed to Lukaku. You're getting a player for free. Imagine, though, you have a bench with Correa, Dzeko, Dybala, Lautaro. That's a fearsome strike. Dzeko. I said Dzeko.
That was I was waiting for it. I was so excited to like just say Dzeko.
Bro, that is like a fierce strike force right there. That's quality.
Listen,
there's no way you can't tell me that's not quality.
He played 29 games in Serie A this year. He missed 9. Lautaro played 35. I mean, yeah, it's not like it's 6 games, but at the same time, it's like you're not getting Sensi, who played 3.
In Lautaro's defense, he played 35, and it wasn't because he was hurt.
He's suspended.
He was suspended, and he was benched.
Still, doesn't matter.
The save up for the Champions. No, my point is this. Lautaro doesn't get hurt. At least you have one fit player there. But Dybala, you need. I don't care what you say. He's the best player out there. You get the best player.
Yep.
It's what you need, and he's from Palermo. Word to Mario.
Listen, when you get a when you have a chance to sign a player from Palermo who is, you know, on the upper echelons, the Luca Tonis, the Fabio Grossos, the Dybala, Amauri, when you get those players, it just boosts your chances to win by like 1,000,000%. And we already got Darmian. There's one. There's one Palermo OG. Now you're gonna have Dybala. That's two. So now we're gonna have a guaranteed treble.
Yeah.
Said and done. But also to go even further into this, you want to have a player like Dybala in training at the very least, because when you have these world class players, Vidal, Dybala, Dzeko, Bastoni. Hear me out.
Idiot in his peak, he is a world class striker.
He's a world class striker. I mean, sure, Dzeko. The output wasn't 100% there this year at 35 years.
World class. Because he was.
Yeah, he was.
Obviously,
he's a good striker.
But when you bring that those types of players into training, it makes a huge difference. He's not going to give you the output that he was able to give you 5-6 years ago. But when he trains, these guys train on the next level. They're not like Cristiano Ronaldo training, but they're like a class below where they're always doing something to better themselves. And when they better themselves, they better the team. When they go into training, they're always doing stuff that the younger guys can learn, and they feed off of each other. And the intensity of the sessions are just higher and higher, and there's more quality. If you're bringing a bunch of younger guys, they're going to fuck around. If you're bringing a bunch of guys with egos and never really lived up to anything, they're going to fuck around. They're going to make the training sessions worse because they feel like they have nothing to prove and all that. And then the team just kind of like you expect them to perform up here. And then they kind of just dip in. They're just like, okay, what are we doing here? What's going wrong? And then, you know, playing with better players like Dybala, Vidal, Dzeko, I'm going to throw all those guys in there because they've all won something. They're going to make the team better. Whether they're playing consistently 100, 50 games of the year, whatever it is, or if they're playing 15, 20, but always in training and always trying to get fit. So, you know, even Tensi, if he's fit, he's going to bring the quality of the team at the training sessions at the very least. But the problem is he's never fit. Dybala, on the other hand, fit, going to bring you everything. He's going to rub off on the other players. And you know how Conte always wanted the champions? Well, here you have it. You have people that are like champions coming to raise the level.
Bro, one thing about Dybala, I'll tell you this. When Alexi's gone, you need a player like Dybala that's technical. Ain't nobody on our team that technical with the ball at their feet. Like, this man can literally take a ball from midfield, dribble, and just crank it from right outside the box and then hit the upper 90.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of player Dybala is. Like, literally grab the ball, turn and shoot, and it's going to hit up there. He's that nice.
They make something out of nothing. They're just so technically and tactically gifted that it's unheard of. He gets the ball at the top of the box with Juve. You know he's going to his left foot, but you don't know when, and you don't know how he's going to go to his left foot. Even if he does the same move every single time. There's always that thought of what if he goes to his right foot? How is he going to beat me on his left foot? And when you're a left-footed player like Dybala, you can expect it. You can practice for it, but you can't stop it.
What do we think of this here? I'm going to bring it up because I just saw the comment. Yeah, so do I, man, for the wage that he's on. And, like, the thing is, like, he's out of favor at Juve, and the Juve fans will trash his name. And if he even signs for us, we'll be labeled as a banter club for even suggesting him. He's in, like, a banter category at the moment for his performances.
I never looked at him that way. I thought he actually did fairly well against us in the Coppa Italia and also in the Supercoppa.
He always played well against us. Always. He's 28 years of age. Still,
he's a system player as well. He never fit at Juve. They went and got him because he was one of the best prospects at the time. And they're like, hey, let's get this square and try to fit him in a circle.
They did one of those things where they just signed him just so we couldn't have him.
He's not a wing back though. He's still more of an attacking player. So he's gonna have to fit a certain system where he can probably come in on basically do a Denzel Dumfries job, but be just as maybe a little bit better tactically aware. I don't know.
I think, go ahead, Mario. I think he also adds a tactical versatility because he tries to play as that attacking midfielder also, and he tries to bring that left side or the right side even. And attack through it. So I think if Inzaghi really wanted to, he can cater more to a Bernadeschi kind of play style, sacrificing the defensive aspect if we needed to. But I don't think it's going to be like a 90-minute per game basis. But I think if he needed to change something, he's an option off the bench where he said, okay, stay a little bit higher than the left wing back position. Play as more like a left mid, left winger, and we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, no, you got to remember, bro, I love Perisic. Mario, you know I've been a Perisic fan since
he came.
When Mancini bought him. Like,
both of us.
Diehard Perisic FC. You were diehard him because...
Oh, I love him.
Got a segue into this then. It was the next picture ready to go.
He was the anti-Icardi, and that's why you loved him. But no, dude, I just always was a fan of how he played, you know? Like, I saw him at Wolfsburg, I saw him at Dortmund, and, you know, I always was a fan of how he played. But if
we're it's sad to see him go, man. It's bro, sad I'm to see him go.
Heartbroken, but I'm happy he won, actually, three trophies. Played at
Wolfsburg. Wolfsburg was the other team.
No, I did say Wolfsburg.
You said he played at Dortmund?
Wolfsburg no. He said Dortmund. Wolfsburg first and Dortmund second. Yeah.
He played at Dortmund when?
Yeah.
After that's Wolfsburg. Where he started. No, before Wolfsburg, eh?
Yeah.
What the fuck? What?
He went Dortmund, then Wolfsburg.
He was a part of the... He might have been a part of the Wolfsburg team
He was part of the Dortmund team that went to the Champions League.
He was. He was.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
And then he was with Wolfsburg when Wolfsburg made the Champions League and also when they were balling in Europa.
When he beat us in Europa. They were
the ones that knocked us out in the Europa League.
It might have been was he there the season where Man United needed to win to make it out of the group stage and Wolfsburg beat him under Louis van Gaal? He might have been in that team as well.
Yeah, he's filthy. I got my Wolfsburg jersey in my closet.
I loved watching him play. One of the reasons why I was so excited when he came was because he's such a direct player and he doesn't fuck around in the offensive third until we signed him. Then he started to mess around and be an annoying player, which everyone hated, but he's not that type of player. When you watched him with Inter and then you watched him with Croatia, you're like, who is this guy? Why is he playing like this? Why is he so good? Why don't we sell him?
That's because back then, remember, our tactical approach to games was
too predictable.
It was so stupid. It was like, hey, Perisic, I know you're really good with both feet and you love to cut into your right foot and score those goals when you cut in or create dangerous opportunities, but I got something better for you. We have this idiot that's playing striker. I want you to make him look good. I'm not going to name any names, but you know.
What are you thinking about the transfer, Mario? Like, would have you still offered him $6.5 million before bonuses to stay for a couple of years?
Do you want $10 million? I give you $10 million.
It's a lot for a 33-year-old, man. It's a lot.
I want you on a 2-year deal.
What about you, Christian?
I love Perisic. All right, that's literally was one of my favorite Inter players. Next to Lautaro, right there, and Andrea Ranocchia and D'Ambrosio. All right. I think it was time for us. We signed Gosens, and Gosens is legitimately probably the best left back or top three left backs in the world. At some point, you're going to have to start. You're not going to make that investment without starting him. You know, it was coming.
I want to see him.
He's too good of a player to leave on the bench.
I want to see him.
I would have tried to make him fit somehow, some way with both of them on the field.
Perisic can play on the right side. And, you know, even though we have Darmian and Dumfries, Perisic would just start over with both of them easily.
There's no reason why he couldn't. We need to replace him properly. And I said this in a short just before we did this podcast. I said, like, this can't be a player that just bounces because he's dead wood, because he's not dead wood and the position's not dead wood. Yeah, we've signed Gosens, and in an ideal world, Gosens turns out a 38-game season the way Perisic just did, but he won't. We know he won't. We know physically he's not at peak form, and he will probably cop an injury this season at some point. You know, touch wood that he doesn't, but his history tells us that that might happen. There needs to be a player just as good, if not better, but just as good as Gosens, ready to come in. It's definitely not going to be DiMarco on that left-hand side as a left wing back. DiMarco more than enough has shown that he's really good to come in at left center back and do a shift, but he can't be relied on all season at left wing back. So it's going to have to be, we're going to have to replace him, Christian.
Trying to lose? Trying to lose with DiMarco?
don't keep carrying that agenda. He picked up some good form at the end of the season.
he picked up some good forms to, you know, fill out on and give to the secretaries of the team, but I didn't see any form. he's one of the best free kick takers, didn't score a free kick. He's one of the best corner takers, maybe got an assist or two. Crosses to the ball, you know, he maybe got like four assists. Play consistently. He played a lot of games for, you know, the one of the best dead ball specialists, and you know, he looked like freaking Peter Lund in the MLS, where he scored one free kick in fucking 4 years.
It's a good comment from Matt. Benedeschi wouldn't fit our system, just like Berardi would. We'd have to force him into a bit of a wing back role, man. But I know he's been tried to play there under Allegri a few times, and it didn't really work out. But we'll have to see what happens.
Ball is so negative, bro. Yeah. Like, you're comparing him to Inzaghi. Ball is more attacking. We all know
free
that.
Flowing.
It's free flowing, opposed to, you know, Allegri ball is just so
terrorist negative. Ball.
He can't give us what Dumfries and Hakan gave us. Yeah, because Dumfries and Hakimi played on the right.
Yeah. Well, still got a few more rumors to cover before we move on. Another player that might be able to come in and cover is Destiny from Udinese. He's had a really, really good season, to be honest. Every time I watched him turn out, I was like, man, this guy can run hard and he's actually quite good on the ball. I thought Juve was a shoo-in to get him, but at 19 years of age, to continue on the hate Allegri train that Christian was just saying, like, there's no way no 19-year-old is playing for Juventus under Allegri. He'd go out on loan straight away or he'd just sit and rot the bench. I don't know if he's good enough to step it up to that level yet. Have either of you gentlemen seen him play this season?
So I've seen him play here and there. I watched him against us. I mean, I think he's decent. Another one that wouldn't be too bad will be homeboy from Cagliari. Was it Bellanova, I think it is.
Bellanova would be one of my first choices to come in as well. He looks like he's got ball.
Nendez.
No. Although no. you could probably pick him up for absolute peanuts now that they're relegated.
We wanted him last year and he was fairly good. I mean, this Cagliari team sucked. So
they were saying he was worth 30 million last year. Maybe we could go get him for 3 million now.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying.
He wasn't even in the lineup really.
Bellanova is playing over there right now at Cagliari, and we all know that they got relegated. So you're like, hey, bro, you want to come play in City A or you want to play in City B? What you want to do?
Yeah.
It's a good opportunity.
Can we talk about this before we move on to anything? I hope it's not true because that would put a real damper on my preseason beforehand. You know, I don't know if it's realistic to say that we can sign Bremer and keep Bastoni. I'm under the impression that we don't need to raise anything more than 60 to 65 million. So why can't we just use players like De Vrij, like Pinamonti, like all the youngsters? Like, we can raise that sort of money. I need Christian to shed some light. But before you do that, there's actually 37 people with us right now. So please make sure you like the video and subscribe and let us know if you're new, because that's an awesome number to have on this podcast. Cheers.
So when you sit there and you look at it, all right, Pinamonti is going to get you 25 to 30. Straight up. He had a hell of a season at Empoli. Baron Leverkusen's even tracking him. There's a couple teams tracking him. You can probably get squeezed 28 million. I wouldn't doubt it, just because you can have a smaller bidding war. You start 25, you got a couple teams involved. You can go out with about 28 mil, maybe 30. All right? That's covered right there. You got Satriano that can probably get you about another 15 mil. All right? De Vrij, 20 mil because he had a terrible season. Then you still got a bunch of these deadwood players that you're getting rid of anyways. I hate to say it, but Ranocchia is one of those deadwood players out the door. You know, I love the guy, but it was time to move on. Let's see. You still got a lot of players leaving, like Vidal, Alexis. Who else? Radu's definitely gone after what?
Vecino's gone to Lazio.
Vecino's gone.
Yeah,
hopefully you can get Dalbert and Lazzaro out. Even if you get 5 or 7 million combined between the bloody two of them, just get them off the books completely.
Well, if I wasn't mistaken, Lazzaro had transfer news. Who was
Benfica?
Was it Benfica?
I'll look it up.
I'm gonna look it, but yeah, somebody was tracking it. Dalbert Cagliari was thinking about triggering. I mean,
They won't now.
They won't. Yeah, they got relegated.
Atalanta was interested in Lazzaro. I think that's what you
might want.
There it is. Yeah.
Atalanta was interested in them. They got to rebuild over there because look at them right now. They were also interested in Pinamonte.
They're gonna take a dip. I see a dip coming in quality for them, big time.
They gotta get rid of fucking Gasparini. It's time to move on. It's time to move on.
If I was Gasparini, I'd be using my success with Atalanta as a platform to score one good ball a job before I retire. Right. Like, look at what he's done at Atalanta. He could walk headfirst into a good resume in Spain or France or Germany. Like, I don't really care. Even Dortmund, bro. Why not? No, nah, yeah. Definitely not. Right there, I reckon he'd piss too many people off there.
Yeah.
This is a good comment here from Matt. Even though Perisic was phenomenal, our striker chemistry cost us the title. Gosens will do the job what's needed for the team. If I could say that there's one quality that Robin Gosens has, his eye to pick out an opportunity for an assist or a goal, his eye for goal is unique from that position. There was a point in time where he could not have a bad game for Atalanta without picking out an opportunity for a teammate. So I'm hoping that we see that version of Robin Gosens next season. Sensi and Aslani back up midfield. Sensi's gone, bro. I think he's absolutely gone. I have a feeling Monza, who just got promoted, are going to actually go for him because 15, I've seen. Yeah, how much?
15, 20 mil taken.
Bro, I was saying that he was going to go for like 8 or 9. How are we going to get that much for Sensi? Are you crazy?
You're going to get that much for Sensi.
Monza owes us.
I think you can get something like that.
Monza actually owes us 4 million euros because they got promoted. Their goalkeeper that they've been using is one of ours. And one of the clauses in his contract is if he gets promoted, they get promoted, they have to trigger it and purchase him. I forget the name of the goalkeeper, but Monza now owe us 4 million euros as of
Gabriel Brazão.
It's not him.
I wouldn't doubt if Sensi gets sold for about 15, 20 million, and that goalkeeper probably gets bought too. He took him to City. Yeah, they're probably gonna buy him.
Yeah,
might as well at that point. Yeah, stick to what works.
So I mean, at that point,
Di Gregorio is the kid keeper.
What else we got on the agenda? Let's talk a little bit more in depth about this because all we did was like touch on it a little bit at the start. Like him coming back, you could still do it. It's doable, but. What do you make more of, like, his actions with the Asian Pastorello, sorry if I've said it wrong or whatever, Christian. Like, this dude just looks like he's willing to throw all toys out of the pram and just chuck a tantrum to get what he wants every season. Maybe that's a reason to not just let him walk back in so easy.
My thing is this. If he doesn't go to us, who's he going to go to?
Yeah.
Seriously.
What can he do under Inzaghi, but like, what can he bring? What can he bring back? How many goals? Because I saw some people commenting on a forum going, you're guaranteed like 20 goals if he comes back. I'm like, nah, I wouldn't say that at all. He's going to have to, he'll score a lot of tap-in merchant goals, I feel, under Inzaghi, just being in the right place at the right time, which what he was doing under Conte anyway.
I would say he'd have a 25, 27 goal season.
Well, if that's the case, then you definitely loan him back for 5.5 million, for fuck's sake.
I think he's up there. Yeah. I think he contributes to at least 25 goals, scoring them 20 plus at the very, to be modest.
I'm going to say about 25 goals he'll bring. Full season, including Champions League, 25, 27 goals straight up.
I think that's fair.
I say that because of how much growth Lautaro had last season. Mm-hmm. Yo, he's gonna pull more defenders towards him and open up more lanes for Lukaku. And if you get Dybala in there, it's one of those things like, yo, Dybala is so amazing at finding those passes. Just like Lautaro, you're talking about three front men, you can make it happen. You can play a 3-2-3-1, I guess you would say, or 3-2-3-1-2. That's what I'm more looking like. You put Dybala right there, right behind Toro and Lukaku, you know, but. I wouldn't, considering how Lukaku left us, I would make sure I get Dybala before I get him.
Yeah, sure.
He bounced out. He bailed on us, you know, like, oh, it's my dream. All right, well, go have your dream. Now it turned into a nightmare.
Well, like my boy Rob, and check out his podcast if anybody's listening, called It's a Football Thing, Three Aussie Blokes Doing a Good Thing. He goes, Chelsea won't get rid of him after a big hit. It would have to be an expensive loan. But that's just exactly what it is, bro. It is an expensive loan. There aren't too many loans in the world that cost you 5.5 or 6 million. And never underestimate the power of a real crybaby that disrupts a professional locker room. And that's what Lukaku represents at Chelsea at the moment, a person who's disturbing the peace. And rather than pay him 12 million a season, if you're telling me that he's going to take a wage cut down to about 6 or 7 and Inter's willing to pay 5.5 of that, it might just be looking at saving Chelsea 10 million a season. So money saved, and then they can just put it elsewhere. I get what you're saying, but I don't think Chelsea are that not well off just because they're not with Abramovich. Well, go on, Mario. Yeah, Christian.
I was going to say, technically Abramovich isn't their owner anymore. Also, the money hasn't come in for Lukaku. Remember, they only paid a portion of it so far. We're still owed money.
Yeah, but don't we still owe Manchester United as well for the fee? Like, isn't this just a whole... all that matters is what's on the books written in paper. Yeah. Money never changes hands. It all just matters is what's on paper.
It's one of those things where Chelsea's going to take an L on it. Also, with the new owners that Chelsea's getting, I don't think they want to come in with that type of headache. Also, they're about to be like the new Arsenal.
You really think they could drop that low? I know it's not looking great for them, but like still, I think they've got more money and sheer quality.
I think they're going to drop lower than Arsenal. I think they're going to drop to Manchester United status, where it's just going to be straight up banter.
Damn. Fair enough.
Look who their owners are going to be.
Who?
I don't even know, man. I haven't done much research into it.
It's an American group.
Oh, yeah, that's a wrap.
Thank you to Bruno, always coming in with some good facts. Inter cleared the United debt when we received the first payment from Chelsea. So I'm really keen to hear like how much exactly did Chelsea still owe us for that, because maybe that could really cushion the blow of sending him back to us as well.
I think it was like 50 mil is still owed us.
Yeah.
56.
They'll probably just clear that. Yeah. That point.
That's serious, though. They're getting new American owners. Americans, they're not about, hey, let's throw the bank at these players to get, you know, to get trophies. They're more of, let's balance the books and see how much money we can make.
They want to make money. They don't give a shit what happens.
If
they have to take a loss.
I'm not even going to fake. Hey, yo, if it makes dollars.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Lukaku's not making them any money. They're not going to be selling a million Lukaku shirts. They're going to be, you know, like, they're going to be getting death threats if they don't sell Lukaku, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Those fans are shocking, bro. Those Chelsea fans. Yeah. Oh, speaking of fans, before we segue into Bremer, let's sidetrack. Did you guys see that Saint Etienne shit this morning?
Yeah, that was nuts.
Oh, those French fans are horrible. And I don't care how harsh I say it on camera, they are horrible people. Those French fans, French ultras are horrible people, man. I've seen them in action for more than one club this season and in previous seasons. They are dirty. They're horrible, bro.
I loved watching it because I love watching like chaos and like.
Were they going for their own players or the opposite? They were going for their club, weren't they?
They were going for their own players. If you look at the video like closely, you see all the players from Auxerre. They were celebrating. The goalie was up next to the goal. The players ran over, and then everyone's throwing the flares towards the tunnels where the players already are, because you know. They're throwing at the coaches, the staff, all those people, while everyone else is off, like, you know, doing their own thing, celebrating. They're like, holy shit, we need to get into the tunnel. And then the Auxerre team was just like, what the fuck's going on? And then you watch them go into the tunnel, celebrating the tunnel as they get into the tunnel. And then they started throwing like tear gas and shit. It was insane.
So that must mean that these ultras must have organized pre-game. If we get relegated, we swamp the tunnel with flares and we hurt people.
They came prepared to like fuck shit up.
That reminds me of Schalke when they got relegated last year.
Nah, it was more further back than last season, wasn't it? Schalke, was it like
they went down 1 year and then they're back next year?
What happened last season? Did they get relegated again and the fans did it
that
again?
That was the first time. In a long time.
Yeah, they were bad.
They were bad.
I thought it was like 3 seasons ago that they got relegated, man. They had a season where they didn't win. They didn't win a game in like the first 16 games or something.
They got relegated and the fans went bananas.
Mm. Shout out Nottingham Forest back to the Premier League. I haven't even checked in on the championship promotion yet.
Dude's got two Champions Leagues and freaking City, Liverpool, City, Arsenal, Chelsea, and who else combined? Well, just
When was the last time they were in the Premier League? Because this is the first season of like the new generation of fans, social media fans, banter fans. They're going to run with that statistic to the hills. Imagine the chance, because those Poms, like, they are like, they are some stupid people, but their banter is pretty stupid, and that's what makes it funny.
Yeah.
Oh, how much do you think Liverpool is going to get fined for their fans?
Jumping the fence at the Champions League final.
Delaying the final.
I think that's more on the Frogs, though. Oh, excuse me, on the French.
Yeah, those cops were harsh, bro. Like, you can't just go on tear-gassing people that have got tickets to this major event.
I wouldn't let Liverpool fans in. Are you kidding me? The less the better.
Yeah, Matt Pickham says it. Well, I saw that the Liverpool parade. They pre-booked this parade for their city.
Fucking losers. I love watching them lose. I like watching them lose more than I like watching Inter win.
Look. I'm going to say one thing, and this is a thing that confuses me. Liverpool wins two domestic trophies, and everybody's like, they had a great year. Amazing year.
What did they win?
The same exact two domestic trophies in our league, and it's considered a flop.
Slightly different, but I get what you're saying.
To me, it's not.
Mm.
To me, it's
the same thing. It's the same thing. Literally, it's the same thing.
No. Our Supercoppa is more like their charity shield, not like their League Cup.
Not this
League Cup's still bullshit.
Our Supercoppa was literally in the middle of the year when everybody was in form. Mm-hmm. If it's at the beginning of the year, I'm with you. It's a bullshit ass trophy. But when you're playing it in the middle of the year, the intensity was there, dude.
Yeah.
It was there. It felt like a final. All other Supercoppas always felt like friendlies to me. But this one, it felt like a final. I hope Liga Serie A keeps it that way. Keep it in the middle of the season, dude. It made it so much better.
Because they usually do it in the summer before the season, right?
Yes, they usually do it before the season starts.
Yeah, those have always been friendlies. I went to go watch. I watched the Supercoppa in 2001, I think it was. 2002.
Against Roma? No, was it us? It was
Juve, Juve Milan in Giant Stadium.
Oh,
yeah, I went to that one right before the season. It was
Did it come to the U.S. in 2001, the Supercoppa?
I think so, yeah.
It was a final. Crap. I did not know that.
I was at the game. They had 2004.
It's definitely in Saudi Arabia this time around. They wanted to do that this season, but it didn't pull through. Can you guys explain this to me a little more? Because you guys have better coverage of who was this journalist and exactly did she say? I saw a lot of it on Twitter. Do you know about this? No? Okay, cool.
I don't apparently, even know who the fuck that is. Who's that?
Yeah, me either, but apparently some journalists were chanting live that their team were chanting pre-game.
She's never done a soccer game, apparently, because those fans will chant through anything. They'll chant through the national anthem. They don't care.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. The thing with Liverpool is they won two finals through on penalties, nil all, without scoring a goal in either way, and couldn't score in a UCL final. Look, it's an anticlimactic season for them, which is
fun
to see. Oh, it's a singer. It's a singer that said it.
They suck. Liverpool suck.
Cuban too. Oh well, I'm not Cuban, so I'm excused.
Mm.
But if you think about it though. Bro, look who Madrid went. If you thought Madrid was not going to win the final, like, you're crazy. Look who they went through. Group stage, the Italian champs, right? Next stage, they went through the French champions.
Mm-hmm.
Following stage, they went through the European champions in Chelsea. Then they went through the English champions, City, all right? They went through four champions to get to the final.
It's the best run I've seen to a final. It really is.
The hardest game and the best team that Liverpool played was Inter.
Best team in the world. I love my team.
That's it. Legit, before they got to Madrid, that was their hardest game was against Inter. Prove me wrong.
And then we went and beat Liverpool at Anfield as well.
And we beat them at Anfield.
We're the best, Mario. The best.
But you know what, though? If Alexi didn't get that red card, I think the game would have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
my favorite was Jamie Carragher saying, "Oh, Real Madrid have absolutely no chance of winning Champions League." I'm like,
"Okay,
what are you retarded? Have you never played soccer before?"
These English pundits don't do themselves any favors.
It's so stupid.
I'm not an Ancelotti fan, but in the fashion that Madrid won was the most Italian thing ever.
Oh yeah.
I'm an Ancelotti fan, bro. That's King Carlo level shit, man. Good on him.
Parked that bus.
I don't understand how people just don't like him. He's such a good coach.
I don't like him such a Milanista. That's it. But
do you reckon he'll coach the national team after Madrid? You reckon that's kind of like set up for him to finish his career?
Unfortunately not. I don't even think he wants it.
He's not built for it.
You know, right? He is a league manager, man. But he's won the Champions League how many times? How can you say he's not built for it? How can you say you don't give him a decent group of players? He doesn't win a Euro or a World Cup the same way a Mancini or a Lippi would.
We don't have a decent group of players.
He's going to retire before he ever touches the national team. All right. One, Mancini isn't getting sacked, dude. Whether you like it or not, he's not getting sacked.
Nope.
Two, Ancelotti said it before. He don't want that smoke. He's been several times. You're more likely to see Sacchi come back before Ancelotti, in my opinion.
Cool. Yeah.
You don't remember Sacchi?
Sacchi. Arrigo Sacchi.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, who the fuck is Sacchi?
Same shit.
Our boy Mo called it that Real Madrid.
Sorry. I'm like Sacchi. I'm like, what? Sochi in Russia?
You know why he's Sacchi and not Sacchi?
Why?
You want to know why he's Sacchi and not Sacchi?
Because he wasn't Sacchi good enough?
For a long time.
I wanted to finish with this. If we lose this guy, it's not good. Ah, Mario's done. He's taking his headphones off and everything. If we lose this guy, I'll be a little bit pissed off, man, because everything looks like it's agreed for a good wage. If we can get him, as I said, we barely need to sign anybody else. You give me Bremer and Dybala and don't sell anybody and you automatically become Scudetto. Yeah, or definitely sell De Vrij. You automatically become Scudetto favorite. So, Christian, you think this is done? That's all I want to know from you.
Bro, I wish. I don't know, bro. I don't trust the Chinese.
Yeah.
If we sell Bastoni and get this guy, I don't care. It's a terrible deal.
Yeah.
It is a terrible deal.
I don't think you can replace Bastoni so easily unless it's like the second coming of David Alaba.
Nope. Bro, and even
you're not going to find that.
Even then, I'm not selling Bastoni unless it's 100 mil.
I was talking on Twitter with people and they're like, oh, you know, 60 million for City. I'm like, yo, how the fuck are these idiots going to go and pay 50 million for John Stones? United's going to go play 80 million for freaking Harry Maguire. Virgil van Dijk, 75 million, whatever the hell it was. And you're going to say, sit here and tell me, Bastoni is worth less than all of those guys. Sans John Stones, because that was like 5-6 years ago. It doesn't make any sense.
Rejected the 60 million approach from City. It's already been rejected.
Good. But
I'm hearing if it's more than that, like 80, they're going to say yes.
For Bastoni, 80.
Yeah. 80 for Bastoni is a lot. I mean, I would rather keep him, but for 80 million, that's hard to say no to.
You can't say no for 110 for Lukaku. No. It's as simple as that. And that's why we didn't. You can't say no to 80. Like, for example, and this is a really good like little chat, how much would you say yes to for Skriniar? For me, just asking that question, if someone puts 95 on the table for Skriniar, I'll entertain it. Anything less than 90, you can just not even open the door.
Correct.
What about you, Christian?
I feel for Bastoni and Skriniar, you got to offer me 100.
I don't think Skriniar would even think about it. He would reject it himself. He'd find
the papers. He's got no agent.
He doesn't care. He's like, he's already negotiated two deals with the Inter.
Rumors said, though, that Tottenham and Zhang had agreed to a deal in January, and Skriniar said, I'm not going anywhere.
He's holding us to ransom because he loves us so much.
He's like, I'm not going.
Good. I love Skriniar. I mean, you know, I wrote my little shit piece last year on him, but I love him because he's such a good player. But you can't replace these kind of guys so easily. Like, defenders don't go for that much to begin with.
For me, though, it's harder to replace a defender.
Much harder.
It's harder. You know, don't get me wrong. It's hard to find a good striker, too, but a defender?
Harder.
Would you rather sell Toro or Bastoni, Christian?
Bastoni.
I knew I'd get you there.
I'd sell Lotto first.
I would.
Bro, but like Gio, like Man United tax and Premier League tax is very, very real. Like Maguire is a shonky deal, but it's not the first and the only deal that gets paid through the arse through England, and people don't bat an eyelid. Like, what did Chelsea pay for that Ross Barkley and Drinkwater deals again? Aren't they 40, 45 mil a pop? Those players are not worth 15 million each. These are horrible footballers, bro. Like, they're not horrible, but how are you putting price tags on these guys like that?
Let me go back and defend myself real quick on the Lautaro slander. I would only sell him for 130, 140.
But wow.
For 100. It's true, though, bro. You still have him who we got left as a striker. At least if we sell Bastos,
true.
We still got Skriniar.
Yeah, maybe we get Bremer. So that's maybe it's all just damage control from Marotta. I still trust him, man, to do good by us.
Also, Rudiger went to Real Madrid for free, so...
Yeah.
What? You mean he didn't sign for Juve? I thought that one was done.
Oh, yeah. It was signed 10 years ago.
His jersey was hanging up over there next to Lavezzi's.
Oh, yeah. No, we signed Lavezzi. We signed Lavezzi.
Twice.
It's hanging up to Lavezzi's inner jersey.
Grealish is the man. I love how he gets hate from the people in his country. This guy's a baller. He just wins titles, goes to Ibiza, does his thing. Yep. I'm sure he doesn't care about anyone's opinion either.
Listen, half those guys, they can say whatever they want when they play at that level.
Exactly. All right, we're going to wrap this up nice and easy now. Thank you, everyone who joined us. It's really, really cool to have 38 people with us now.
We have one more thing to talk about.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Can we just say something? I was right with the 84 points.
Yeah, you were.
I was right with second.
He's shaking his head because he's like, I was wrong about Milan, those motherfuckers. How did they do it? I was right. How did they do it?
I never doubted them.
Lazio games and the Verona games, that killed it.
Yeah.
Acerbi, I hate him. I wouldn't take him for free. I hate him. And you know who else I hate? Gianluca Caprari. Because when he played that ball along halfway with 1 minute to go in halftime when they're up 1-0, when he plays that ball, I'm like, here we go. Leao did not even have the ball on his feet yet. I'm like, here we go. Yep. Let's go to work. Come on, time to get up.
Not just him, the freaking Fiore goalie, dude. He played the ball for two
stuff as well. That's right. They beat Fiorentina as well. Those guys, they're gonna have a decent season next season as well.
I'm sitting there like, yo, are you guys fixing this or something? It's like you literally played it to him and gave him a one-on-one with the keeper. Nobody knows what.
Listen, I am 100% sold that Lazio and match fixing. Thing. We saw Gavrai do it for us. He literally gave us the fucking Champions League.
That was on purpose. The more days that go by, the more sure we are of that every day of the week.
Now you're telling me Acerbi is not part of this?
He was smiling afterwards, man.
Come on now. This is so blatantly obvious that I hate Gavrai and I hate Acerbi. And now Gavrai is trying to do it to us. He literally did it for us, actually. We lost first place because of him. I'm going to blame him for this, too, because why the hell not? Because he sucks.
His performance in the first and second derbies were just
terrible. So bad.
But one thing about it, I'm going to say this is how bad Italian football is these days. Because Inter wanted to concentrate on Champions League and progressing, we threw away the league. Milan tanked Champions League and finished in fourth like we did last year, and they won the league.
Before we go, we need one more thing.
Yes.
I need everyone to know, we'll finish this on a high note. Palermo beat Feral
Pisalo.
And they're going to the semifinals of the Serie C promotion.
Brunone scored.
Brunori had like 30 goals this year. He's a freaking tank.
Just before halftime, milliseconds before halftime.
Dud. I'm going to buy a jersey for him.
Hey, Anthony, I'm still depressed about Catania, bro.
They suck. Fuck them.
Shut up, Mario. Have a succinct. Anyway, you know what it is? Like, going bankrupt, I can go bankrupt. Italian clubs can go bankrupt in their sleep. That's not a big deal. No. Where it's when you revoke the license and, like, Now when you come back, you have to change your name and pretend that you didn't exist and everything's done now. It never happened. It's well, the only club left in Sicily in our region that could hold a candle and go, at least we've still got the license. No license, bro. It's going to be new logo, Messina. New everything, bro.
Messina might have it. Let me actually look that up. That's a good one.
Oh, man. But yeah.
That was my bro.
It's a harsh yeah, game,
Messina,
man.
Messina still has the same club since 1900.
If Palermo go to Serie A B next season, Gio, just know there will be a dedicated few minutes at the end of every podcast, maybe even on Football Worldwide. Mario will start doing a little Palermo segment. It'll probably happen.
I'm going to do a weekly segment on Football Worldwide, with strictly called Palermo Worldwide.
Beautiful. I love it. That's all we're going to have time for today, and my alarm's letting me know that as well. Thank you so much for joining me, Mario and Christian. We had a high of 38 here. There's still 30 here now, so like and subscribe if you are new. Forza Inter, Forza Inter Worldwide. Ciao.